Welcome to Parshas HaShavu. This week's Parshas is Parshas Ekev. Parshas Ekev is an action-packed Parsha, as the Parshas tend to be, especially in Book of Dvarim, with so many different things, beginning with the famous word Ekev, the famous Pasuk Ekev, and what that means. I'll mention that in a minute. And also the second Parsha of Shema, and many, many other mitzvahs and famous Pesukim all appear in this week's Parsha. So, I'm going to share a couple of ideas, but just to begin with the famous idea of Ekev, it says, V'hoyo Ekev v'tishmu'un. It will be come to pass, if you will listen to Hashem, then the Torah enumerates all the rewards. Now, the word Ekev could be because you listen, which is sometimes what it means in the Chumash. For example, by the Akedah, when Hashem said, who reward Avraham Avinu for the Akedah, it says, Ekev asher shoma Avraham b'koili, because Avraham Avinu listened to me. So that's like another kind of application of the word Ekev. But over here, we see Mefarshim a different idea, and that is, the word Ekev means the heel. Now, the heel can mean two things, many things actually, but these are two ideas. One is what Rashi brings down, that Ekev is a reference to the heel, referring to mitzvahs which people normally tread upon with their heel. Adam dosh ba'akevav. Now we know that the word v'hoya in the Torah always means simcha, it means joy. And we know that also the reward that the Torah is telling us, so it all comes to this, that the Mefarshim explain, that Hashem is telling us that v'hoya, when will there be proper joy? When will be the ultimate reward? When we keep the mitzvahs, but even the mitzvahs, she'odom dosh ba'akevav, even the mitzvahs that people tread upon with their heel. We all can think of examples. You know, we keep mitzvahs, we do Shabbos, we do tefillin, mezuzah, Shabbos candles, but then there's all those little things that we just tend to like overlook. We tend to think maybe they're not that important, or everyone doesn't do it, or just the culture is like, you know, not to be so careful about it. Those are the things that are most important. Those are the things we really have to pay attention to, because those are the things that show how dedicated we are to Torah and mitzvahs. Those are the things that show our real commitment to Torah and mitzvahs properly. So that's one idea. The Ekev Tishmon, that you listen to Hashem, even those mitzvahs, that brings the ultimate reward and the ultimate joy. Another idea of Ekev is that Ekev means the heel, referring to the end of time before Mashiach. Ikvasid the Mashiach, the time that we're in now. And Hashem is telling us that it'll come a time before Mashiach comes, that it's Ikvasid the Mashiach, it's a time at the end of Golus, where it's difficult, spiritually it's very difficult. We don't have such a deep consciousness of Hashem, we don't have such deep levels of love of Hashem and knowledge of Hashem that they had in previous generations. We're spiritually quite a low generation in terms of our level. And Hashem says, and there's so many temptations and there's so many distortions in the world, so many things threatening our spiritual connection. And yes, Hashem says to serve Hashem today, to go to shul today, to put on tefillin today, keep Shabbos today, to learn Torah today, with all the temptations, with all the spiritual and sometimes physical threats that we face, is precious in the eyes of Hashem. V'hoyo Ekev Tishvun, if you'll keep the mitzvahs in the time of Ikvasid the Mashiach, in the times of the heels of Mashiach, then Hashem will keep His covenant, Hashem will reward us, give us the ultimate reward. That is the real ultimate connection to Hashem. Okay. Now in this parasha we also have the mitzvah of benching. As it says, V'achalta v'savata v'irachta, you'll eat, you'll be satisfied, you'll bless Hashem. You know, this is one of the brachas that are actually biblical according to all opinions. It's a biblical command to bench. We bench, obviously, as an acknowledgement that everything comes from Hashem. We know that, interestingly enough, the benching has different brachas. The first bracha, actually, Moshe Rabbeinu composed to thank Hashem for the man that fell from heaven. And we still have this bracha in our benching, which is interesting, although today we don't have the man. Today we have what's called lechem min ha'aretz, the bread from the ground that we have to work for and plow and sow. And that's what we have. That's why we say ha'moitzi lechem min ha'aretz, before we eat it, whereas man was called lechem min hashamayim. So it's interesting that we still keep the bracha on the man, even though the bread we eat is not lechem min hashamayim, it's lechem min haaretz. And one of the ideas, obviously, is the following, and that is that we need to understand when we eat, we need to understand with all the physical blessings that Hashem gives us, which often they come through our efforts, that we work, we sow, we plow, we do business, and we earn and, so to speak, deserve those blessings, although we don't deserve anything, we just are recipients of Hashem's blessing. What we really need to understand is that all the bread we eat is lechem in Hashemayim. It's still the man. Yes, in the time of the Midbar, it was obvious it fell straight from the heaven. But where does it fall from today? Still from heaven. For wherever Hashem hid it a little bit by saying that it should go through the field, go through our plowing, our working, our sowing, so we kind of can make the mistake that it's us who accomplished it. But no, everything comes from Hashem. And everything is dependent on Hashem, and every blessing that we have is only because Hashem wants us to have it, but He wants us to go through the physical routine. But we still thank Him, and we make the first bracha of benching by saying, Hazon es ha'olam, you have sustained the world, and this is the bracha on the man, because we acknowledge and believe and understand and internalize that belief that it's all from Shemayim, it's all from heaven. Now, before benching, the Torah talks about the land of Israel, of Eretz Israel, and says it's a land, Erev Chito Usoira, land of wheat and barley. And then it goes through the five fruit, the grapes, the pomegranates, the figs, the olives, and so on. Dates. I'm not saying the correct order, but those are the five fruits. And that's, we know, is called the Shiva Saminin, the seven things for which the Eretz Yisrael is praised. So I want to share with you a very quick thought, but then a very interesting interpretation of a Gemara that the Lubavitch Rebbe once spoke about, a very fascinating interpretation. So first of all, we have this distinction between the wheat and the barley and the fruit. So it's really seven kinds, but it's two and five. And the Mefarshim explained that the wheat and barley represents the staple of the human being, of how we should start. What's the basics that we have to do? Right? In that itself, we'll see in a second that the barley refers to the neshama. Sorry, the wheat refers to the neshama and the barley to the body. We'll get to that in a moment. And then we have the five fruit. So the Mefarshim explained the following. What Hashem is telling us is that there are certain things that we have to do. We have to daven, we have to learn, we have to keep mitzvahs. We have to do things that's staple. That's wheat and barley. But sometimes we can do those things, but without enjoyment, without energy, without passion, without enthusiasm. So that's the idea of the fruit. Fruit is bringing a dimension of simcha. Just like fruit, we enjoy. It's sweet, it's geschmack. So the fruit is bringing a level, a dimension of joy into the avodas Hashem. Okay, that's the lesson from the fruit. Let's return now to the wheat and the barley. What is the staple? How should we serve Hashem? So there is a concept, and I'm going to read to you a Gemara. And the Gemara is a fascinating Gemara. It's a Gemara in Psochim, Daf Gimel Amud Beis, where really the Gemara over there, I'll give you the context. The context of the Gemara is that we should always use positive language, clean language. And even sometimes we find that people said things in a roundabout way in order to say it in a more positive way rather than saying it in a negative way. So the Gemara says, Yochanan Chakuko, Yochanan who came from the place of Chakuk, Nofak L'Kiryosa, he went out to the villages to inspect the crops of what was happening. Kiyosa, when he came back, Amrulay, they said to him, they asked a question, Chitin Naasu Yofois, did the wheat crop develop nicely? So he answered, Amar Lahem, he said to them, So'oirim nasi yofis, the barley developed nicely. Now the simple pshat of the Gemara is that the wheat did not develop nicely. It was a kind of a disaster. So he didn't want to say that in a negative way. So he just said in a more roundabout way, he said, the barley developed nicely. But they had a funny reaction. The Gemara says that a reaction, Amrulay, they said to him, the barley, Tsei uvaser lasusim lachamoirim. Go and tell the good news to the donkeys and the horses. And they bring a pasuk that they eat barley. So the Gemara says, they kind of jumped on him. The Gemara says, "My havalei lememra." What was he supposed to say? He was trying to avoid saying something very negative. Says the Gemara, he could have said, "Eshtakad, last year nasu chitim yafa. In last year, the wheat developed nicely. So, on a simple level, this is the Gemara, and they were saying, like, why do you talk about Baal? You could have said last year was the wheat was nice if you didn't want to say that the wheat was didn't develop nicely. But it's a strange Gemara. Why did they sort of jump on him? And also, what does it mean, go and tell the good news to the donkeys and the horses? What is that supposed to mean? What kind of language is that? What kind of way of talking is that? So what does all this mean? And we know that everything we learn in the Gemara can be understood on many levels. It can be understood on a simple level, but can also be understood on a deeper level. So he once explained the following idea. The Gemara says wheat is the food of humans. Barley is the food, the fodder of animals. Now we know this is not how we do it today. Today we eat lots of different types of grain. But in ancient times, this is the way it was. Grain was what people eat. Barley was what animals eat. On a spiritual level, what this means is that we have within the human experience two parts. We have what we call the human part, the Adam as we are called. And Adam comes to the word Adama le'elyon, that we represent the supernal being, the Adam ha'elyon. And that's a reference to the neshama. Then we have the animal part to us, as we know, the Nefesh Abamis, the animal soul. So we have the soul and the body, or put a different way, the Nefesh Alakis and Nefesh Abamis, the godly soul and the animal soul. And each we have to work for. Wheat represents the staple, the basics of what we have to do for our neshama. And that is the neshama work is things that we do that are more spiritual, like learning Torah, like keeping mitzvahs, like davening. That all that strengthens our neshama. Then we have barley. Barley represents the body, the physical part of us. The working with the animal soul, to tame it, to self-control it, to make sure that it becomes refined by channeling the impulses of the animal soul towards the strength of serving Hashem and so on and so forth. And this is through hard work of refining the character traits, refining our midas, dealing, engaging with the physical world, making sure that our eating, our sleeping, the physical part of us is elevated, is done properly, is refined, is also channeled towards Avodas Hashem. Some of the mitzvahs which are done specifically with Gashmias, with the physical world, all that is part of feeding, all that is part of the Bali, the feeding the animal soul. So here's the catch and here's the process. We have two parts of our life, the spiritual work for the soul, engaging with the physical, which is so important to elevate the physical, to elevate the body, to elevate and refine the animal aspect of us. So this is the Gemara. The Gemara is Yochanan Chakoko goes out to inspect, to do a spiritual stock-taking, to reflect on how the crop, how the produce, how the Avodas Hashem is doing. Comes back and they say to him, "Nu, how's it going? Chitim nasu yofes. Is the soul work doing well? Is the wheat doing well? Are people learning Torah? Are they doing mitzvahs?" So he says to them, "Soirim nasu yofes. The barley is doing well." To which they respond, "Go tell that good news to the donkeys and the horses." Meaning, it wasn't a criticism. They were saying, "That's really good. That it is good. That's a great news, a great reflection, a great evaluation for the donkeys and the horses." In other words, the nefesh abamis, that means that you're talking about that people are engaging in gashmis, they're engaging in the physical, they're trying to elevate the physical, they're making sure that they're refining their midos, and they're really trying to make sure that the physical interactions that they have, like their business dealings, like their interactions, like their relationships, like the food they eat, and all that is being done according to Torah and according to Hashem's will, and being done in the right way. But then the Gemara says, it seemed like they were not happy that he did that. They wanted to know something else. So they says, the Gemara says, "My havle lemeima." What was he supposed to say? Says the Gemara, he was supposed to say, "Last year the wheat did really well." That should have been his starting point. Why? So here comes a very important lesson. That it is true that both things are so important. But the Torah says, "Eretz chita usa'ira." Wheat comes before barley. What does that mean? in order to ensure that the interactions that we have with the physical part of us and the physical world around us is holy, is elevated, is doing well spiritually, we must first engage in the spiritual. We must first engage with neshama work. We must first engage with things that are going to strengthen the neshama, and it's only through that and with that strength that we can then progress to elevate and refine the body. Like the Gemara says, when someone wakes up in the morning, that a person should, his bed should be near the shul, which means he should daven after he wakes up, a spiritual experience. Then the Gemara said, you should go to the shul to learn. You should first learn, and only afterwards you should go out. Minag derech eretz, you should go and work and elevate the physical world. In other words, putting it a bit differently, we have to make sure that we have times in our day, even those people that are not sitting and learning all day, they're not involved in spirituality all day, they're doing the important work of engaging with the world and elevating the physical environment, even they have to make sure that the first foundation has to be a strong soul. They have to have times that they immerse themselves and get lost in the world of spirituality. It's a shir, or get lost in a davening, or saying tilim, or doing something very spiritual. That, he should have said first, that the last year, which means the foundation, before we get to the Bali, the sweet is doing well. Only then can we have the news that the Bali is doing well, that the physical is being elevated. And that becomes the formula for life. Chita usa'oira, we have to do both things. That which is soul work in the spiritual, and that which is Bali work to elevate the physical. But the order must be always, start off, create the foundation of spirituality, and progress from there into elevating the physical part of who we are. Have a wonderful day and a wonderful Shabbat.